One other question has to be answered about the 25th. That was the date of a very famous pagan festival, and doesn't that prove that Christmas is still pagan? And I say again, not necessarily. All it proves is Christmas was established as a rival celebration to the pagan festival that was celebrated on that day. See, what people say a lot is Constantine just joined paganism with Christianity and it was all big. That's not what happened. You read the real history of what happened. It was an attempt to pull people away from the pagan festivals of Saturnina to a Christian festival on that same day. What they said was, rather than celebrate the birth of a false god who was never really born, who cannot save, let's celebrate the birth of Jesus, who is the Savior of the world. And eventually, that celebration lost its pagan influences as far as what they meant. Okay, so people still give gifts, but it doesn't mean now what it meant back then. The pagan meaning of the celebration became divorced from the celebration itself and has been replaced with Christian meanings. That was the intent and purpose of it. Well, was that wrong? Some people may say it's wrong to take a pagan festival and Christianize it. Maybe it is wrong. I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing, it's not the principle itself is not necessarily wrong. See, if you do some real deep study, you're going to find out that God himself did that in the Old Testament. Some of the feasts that God gave to Israel through Moses were originally pagan agricultural feasts. They're festivals. And they were filled with idolatrous imagery and practices. And what God did, in effect, was to establish feasts that would replace those pagan festivals without bringing any idolatry or immorality or any garbage with them. So God did that on one occasion. That doesn't mean we can do with everything. I'm just telling you, that was done by God himself. So there's a principle there that says it's possible at least to do it. It's not necessarily wrong to take Christmas and Christianize it. The last one is the commercialization of Christmas. It said that the birth of Christ has been so commercialized, so secularized, that the real meaning of the season has been lost. And that's true. Even the story of the birth of Christ is often distorted. It doesn't matter whether people forget it or abuse it or commercialize it. It's still true. And if you use that kind of an argument, if the world or the devil twists something, we should stop using it, stop being involved with it. You can do that with everything because both Satan and man have distorted and ruined almost everything in life. How many doctrines has Satan taken from the Bible, distorted? The Bible's being distorted every turn. That Satan's distorted sex. He's distorted marriage. He's distorted the institution of the church. He's distorted the place of food. He's distorted everything. There's nothing that Satan hasn't distorted that God's given us. Nothing he hasn't defiled or ruined. Well, we don't throw out food and stop eating just because he defiled food, do we? You don't throw your Bible out. You don't divorce your wife because, he's distorted that, distorted sex and all that. So just because Christmas has been commercialized, that doesn't mean you should throw it out. Just don't partake of that commercialization. Be a light. Do something different. Be different. Stand out. What I find so disturbing about all this is that Christians usually fall into two camps when it comes to Christmas. And I don't believe either camp is right, really. One camp is the majority of them. There's still no churches. And they observe the holiday no different than the pagans do. They bring Santa Claus in and all the other really secular garbage that's associated with the holiday. They get caught up in that. They get caught up in the commercialization. They get all stressed out on Christmas. They spend more money than they should. They go into debt and buy stuff that nobody needs or even wants. They're partaking of the world, the way the world celebrates this time of year. But good, they go ahead and they add a major scene, or religious articles. They sing a few religious carols, so everybody's going to know they're Christians, right? The other camp just rejects Christmas altogether because it's pagan, because the world does it wrong, because the world commercializes it. And see, both those camps are leaving the secularists and the God-haters free to root out and destroy any of all references to the birth of Jesus as the reason for the season. There's a war against Christmas going on, man. It's been going on for intensely for about the last 15 years. I mean, these people are determined to rip everything and anything that has to do with Jesus or salvation or God out of the Christmas holiday and make it a purely secular holiday. And Christians are helping them, either going along with them. And they're not really fighting them. They're not challenging them. They're just going along and doing Santa Claus or anything else the same way they do, the spirit of the world. Or else they just drop out and get disconnected. You don't even worry about it, Christmas. Just act like it's not even around. And both camps are leaving the secularists free to do their thing. Now, I don't believe you can stop what's going on. Again, I believe they're going to win. But that doesn't mean you can't take a stand. That doesn't mean you can't stand up for what you believe, to believe in celebrating it. You know, in this chat room, I think it was, I don't know, it was last year or 2 years ago, there's some ladies that used to come in here very much against Christmas, very much. And we got on that subject that 1 year for about 20 minutes, and I asked one of them if they felt comfortable going along with the secularists' drive to purge everything about the birth of Jesus from Christmas, because their whole thing was Jesus was never part of Christmas. Christmas is always a pagan holiday. Jesus Christ was never part of it. Well, that's the same thing the secularists and the humanists are saying now. I said, are you comfortable going along with them? I mean, you may not be their buddies. They may not be encouraging them and all that. But you're supporting, by your actions, the things, the very thing they're doing. They're trying to remove Jesus out of Christmas, and you're going around saying Jesus was never part of Christmas. So in the end, you're on the same path. You're at the same goal. I said, are you comfortable with that? And the one lady admitted right up front, she said, no, I'm not comfortable aligning myself with atheists and secularists who are denying that Christmas has anything to do with the birth of Jesus. She wasn't comfortable with that. But, you know, she had become so persuaded in her mind by somebody that God was displeased with the whole idea of Christmas. She was so persuaded in her mind that she'd rather walk that way, continue walking, that made her uncomfortable, than just reconsider her views of the holiday. And see, what that shows me is she was not fully persuaded in her mind about Christmas by the Holy Spirit. She was fully persuaded in her mind by some other influence, by the religious flesh or some minister, by some religious demon spirit or something else. Now again, if you don't want to celebrate Christmas because it's your genuine conviction and you can show grace to other people and say, you want to celebrate, that's fine. I feel not to. My conscience won't let me. That's fine. But I want to admonish everybody who it's all evil. It's always been evil. It's nothing but evil. And you're going around trying to persuade everybody to stop it. I suggest that you take a minute and reconsider the issue and make sure that you've been persuaded by the Holy Spirit not to celebrate it, not by some other spirit. Make sure you're doing it as unto God, not as unto men. See, because if you're doing it as unto God, you won't care what other people do. If God's convicted you not to celebrate Christmas for whatever reason, whether it's modern commercialization, whether it's the ancient paganism, whatever, and you're doing it unto the Lord, you can show grace to others. You can even be in somebody's house while they're doing Christmas, and not be offended, not be agitated. But if you can't show that grace to somebody else that they can celebrate it, if you're sticking down your nose and say, you don't celebrate Christmas because you don't know the truth, you just don't got it, you're not righteous enough, you're involved with the world, I'll tell you, that wasn't the Spirit of God that convinced you about that. It was some other spirit. There are many people out here, outside the system, who do not celebrate Christmas for the wrong reason. They're under the wrong influence of a religious spirit. And Jane's family just gave a testimony. They're one of them. It's a very serious thing to accuse fellow Christians of engaging in something that is an abomination to God. If Christmas is an abomination to God, then none of us should be celebrating it. None of us. So when somebody says, I don't feel to celebrate Christmas because I've learned the truth about the paganism or I see the commercialism and my conscience won't let me partake of that, that's one thing. But when you walk around and say, Christmas is an abomination to God, that's a whole different category. That's a whole different view. What you're saying is, God don't want anybody celebrating Christmas. I don't know if anybody in this room here is one who doesn't celebrate Christmas anymore. I don't know. I'm not trying to convince you to celebrate Christmas. I just want to make sure that those who aren't celebrating Christmas are doing it for the right reason and in the right spirit, okay? Because the object of this room is to encourage people and help people get free from spirits and to go on to perfection. And if some demon religious spirit has told you not to celebrate Christmas and do it, if you think you're going to go to perfection, you are mistaken. You got to get free from that demon just as much as any other idea or any other sin or any other selfishness. This is no joke. Many people are being deceived about this whole situation, and they're trying to go on to perfection while listening to religious demons or religious flesh about the whole Christmas thing. And of course, I'll tell you right up front, I'm prejudiced. I get blessed during Christmas. I think God allowed that to happen. It wasn't in the New Testament, no. The only thing that's been commanded in the Scripture, actually, is to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Well, how many people in the world are ever going to enter a church and celebrate the Lord's Supper? That celebration was given for Christians. It wasn't given for a witness to those outside the church, because those outside the church will never see it. Okay? I believe this is a function that Christmas fulfills. God allowed it to become a holiday that, though it had pagan roots, ended up a Christian celebration of the birth of Christ. And I believe God allowed that to happen to be a witness to the world. So there is a witness out here in the world that Jesus is the light of the world, that Jesus came into the world, he came to save men. Okay? And again, I think it's really a personal thing. You should leave each other free to celebrate or not celebrate. And if we can't leave each other free, then there's a problem. So like I said in the beginning, I don't mind people who don't celebrate Christmas because they're convinced the Holy Spirit has told them not to. Unless they have an attitude about it. Unless they think I shouldn't. Unless they look down their nose at me for doing it. Or think I'm dense, I just can't see the truth. And that's what I see a lot out here. I don't see very many people not celebrating Christmas with the right gracious attitude. I see people who are arrogant and self-righteous and other power spirits not celebrating Christmas. Now just think about it. There's nothing wrong with being convicted that you shouldn't do it as long as you're doing it unto the Lord. That's the difference between doing it unto the Lord and doing it unto men. When you do it unto the Lord, you can let others free to do something else. When you do it unto men, you can't leave them free to do it to somebody else. They got to be doing the same thing you're doing. Looks like we got Sister Jan. Go ahead, Sister Jan. You got the mic.
Hey, well, I'll try and speak up a little bit. Well, first when I read about the pagan roots of Christmas, which was probably around the time I probably entered your home, maybe the year before. I mean, I was fair shaking in my boots, like, oh my goodness, like what have I been doing, right? All this time, and certainly the Christmas tree and Santa Claus and the lies. I always had my doubts about the Santa Claus bit, you know, like telling my kids, even though I wasn't saved, but still, I never felt right about those stories. But so anyway, I just I think it was Andrew said, I drew it all out, you know, everything. And for the first year or two, you know, I had no part of anything, but gradually I just felt that I was, you know, I'd gone too far with it, and that Christ was born. He did have a birthday. And I used to think about all the lights around the world, around North America, that light up for Christmas. And I think about the Muslim countries, and they're seeing the lights and knowing that we celebrate, that we're all, they consider us all Christians over there. And I felt it was a testimony of the light of Christ, the Father of lights. So I started thinking in those terms, and I never, of course, denied Christ or tried to tell somebody else how to celebrate. And I always said that I celebrated Christmas. I just didn't celebrate it in the way that I always used to. So I just want to say that. But anyway, I still don't do, the tree is gone, Santa Claus is gone. A few lights are starting to come back because I threw everything out. I mean, I just didn't want anything that was wrong. Oh, praise God. I've learned so much over the last 7 or 8 years, 9 or 10, whatever it is, that, and I'm still learning. So I just want to let you know that I do enjoy the Christmas music, and I do a few decorations and a few gifts and all that. But I never, you know, like my family, my sister lives there, and so many more. You go Christmas to get your tree up. You know, you didn't condemn anybody or anything. But I too, like Andrew and I guess it was James, I turned my back on everything because I was afraid that it was wrong. That's why I just felt it was wrong. So through the conviction of the Holy Spirit and your teaching in your room a few times that it did come up or whatever, you certainly didn't tell anybody how to celebrate Christmas then, but I sensed that you know, that it was okay, and I felt good to know it was okay to celebrate Christmas. And Sister Annabelle last week too, she you know, she just blessed my heart with her testimony, because you're still learning. When once you make a move in the wrong direction, you know, you get wrong doctrine, and then you try to recover from it, you don't know how far back you should come sometimes. So I just thank you for all your help and encouragement and truth. So, and Merry Christmas, everybody. Thank you.
Thanks, Sister Jan. I heard most of it, but it was very, very low. I'll try and jack up the volume when I edit the thing tonight, okay? Let's see, anybody else want to talk? Oh, wait a minute. We got somebody here. Looks like Cameron's going to say something.
Hey, everybody. I don't have anything written down, so please forgive me here, but I wanted to say what a blessing it's been this year, putting up Christmas lights, putting up the Christmas banner, and now putting up the manger scene we have, thanks to the Barringtons. Andrew, that was such a blessing what you said there. And I couldn't remember, I'm sorry if you added, but I remember we, or I anyway, how what's the word I'm looking for? A hypocrite, that's what I'm looking for, a hypocrite. We were, we would go to Christmas parties, and we would receive gifts, but we would not give any gifts. And we even told people how wrong it was to celebrate Christmas. And I was just disgusted how much of a hypocrite we were. I just wanted to add that. I just praise the Lord that we're free from that right now. So that's all I had to share. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. That's right. That was a good share, Cameron. Anybody else? Joey?
Is it okay?
Yeah, come on. I think Joey wants to share something. Ain't about Christmas, though.
Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe next week.
Joey's out of the spirit here. No, that's good.
Okay. Thank you, Dan.
Wow, appreciate all the testimonies and the messages, especially Andrew. I appreciate that testimony. Very encouraging. I can actually identify as well with you guys. With your experience with Christmas, I was also misinformed about it, imbalanced, and got into a religious mentality and spirits as well that deceived me. So I had to repent of that. Thanks to Brother Dan's messages about that in the past, and I got delivered from that. So praise the Lord. We can celebrate Christmas to glorify Jesus, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Anyway, I got something here as well. It kind of talks about a movie we watched last week. I was so blessed. I was meditating about it. So I'm just going to read this something small I was pondering on. So I'm just going to go ahead and read it. So anyways, this movie was about a young boy who had a very aggressive case of leukemia. Okay. I thought it was a very interesting story, and as I was pondering on it while I was at work at McDonald's, I was wondering if there was a message in it. I don't fully know where the boy really is at spiritually in real life, but just for the sake of the message, I thought I'd just mention some interesting scenes in the film that pertains to some spiritual principles that I thought would be worth mentioning. In fact, worth repeating, since it's actually nothing new in this program. So anyways, in the boy's short time of life, he impacted the people around him and helped them in the Lord in a very special way, as he lived by his strong belief that God sent him on a special mission. Not knowing the details of his mission, this little boy only knew how weak he was. However, he kept trusting and believing that Jesus would take care of him no matter what happens to him. He did not allow his fears and feelings of pain to distract him. Johnny believed, okay, that was his name, Johnny. He believed and knew in his heart that God had a mission for him to accomplish, and fulfilling that mission for God was his top priority. There were people that were already being touched and changed by his influence and profession of faith in the midst of all the painful procedures and the sickness. The sickness was taking over his body rapidly. In all the medical suffering he was living with, he was also a boy who did not have a family. His parents died in a car accident, and the family he had only were those who ended up adopting him, which was his cancer doctor and his family. As little Johnny's life was drifting away hour by hour, and his basically atheist doctor, who was so impacted by Johnny's witness that he came to know the Lord, sharing his newfound joy with Johnny at his bedside just before his final breath. It was a pretty sad ending movie, but at the same time, seeing his adopted father coming to the Lord and other people's lives was affected as Johnny witnessed to them about the Lord, not just with his life, but especially with his sufferings that was leading him to his physical death. As I pondered about this movie a little bit more, I was thinking that we also have been called and have responded to God's calling in our lives for salvation and redemption. We do also have a mission from God. It is not about a ministry mission of evangelism. It is not about being happy and prosperous in carnal or physical possessions. It is not a mission of clothing ourselves with Christianity while we are seeking after careers, temporary goals to have the best of this world for ourselves in the name of Jesus. It is not even a mission of being a good Christian, so-called, and just live life until Jesus comes. It is a mission from God that leads to complete death through suffering in the Lord, because we are seeking to not just be good Christians, but to be obedient sons and daughters of God who's committed and submissive to His will alone and be completely dead to our own will. It seems to be a very foolish thing to do, to be seeking a path of suffering that leads to many tribulations and pain, burdens and sorrow, the loss of many things, and even death. However, I am reminded of a scripture that Dan mentioned, I think last week, and it's found in 1 Peter chapter 2, 19 to 23. It says, "For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even unto hereunto were ye called." This is your calling. "Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself unto him that judgeth righteously." God is not looking for comfortable, happy, good Christians whose affections, goals, and visions are towards the things of this life that leads to destruction. God is looking for those whom He can use to manifest His life and show Himself strong through. That is the calling of God for true Christianity, for true Christian life. It is a call to godly suffering, practicing the patience of the saints, and walking in the faith of Jesus Christ. It is a call to losing all worldly and self-serving opportunities for success and prosperity. It is a call to end our lives in order for the life and nature of the Lord Jesus to manifest in us and through us for God's redemptive purposes and also for His justice and judgments to come according to His will. Jesus said, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." John chapter 12, verse 23 to 26. Back to the movie, as Johnny's fragile body was drastically weakening until he was bedridden, just hours before his death, he was still putting his trust in God, making himself available to his will, which he believed to be a part of his mission by speaking God's forgiveness to a woman who was very disturbed, oppressed, and possessed with a spirit of depression, possessed with spirits of hate and bitterness. She was a very, basically, hard-hearted witch. She was transformed by Johnny's words, and her heart was softened and was set free from her years of oppression, as her countenance showed in that scene. She even rearranged the order of some things in her house that pertained to her demons. Little Johnny never complained as he was trusting God to help him fulfill his mission. While his classmates were stating what career they were going to pursue, little Johnny knew he was destined for the end of his own life. He boldly stated to the class that he did not have any worldly career ambitions because he will no longer be alive in this earth. When Johnny spoke to his classmates, he took off his hat, exposing his hairless scalp. His head was completely bald, weird looking, and unattractive. As we seek to go on towards the path of the cross in the journey towards complete death to self, God wants us to lose our hair. I know a few people who's had that, and they're going on to complete perfection in the Lord. And vanities, these are vanities. God wants us to lose our hair, or vanities that feeds a false sense of beauty about ourselves, physically or even spiritually, religiously. Vanities that brings people into bondages of exalting the God of self. Vanities that opens doors to seducing spirits that leads to all kinds of love for the things of this world to decorate themselves with unnecessary possessions and riches that calls for the judgment of God against those who end up walking according to their carnal senses instead of walking in the Holy Spirit. God is calling those who have heard His call to no longer seek anything in this life that pertains to our Adamic success. Seeking for success in careers, success in good looks, success in unsaved, natural family relationships, building a successful ministry. No, God is calling a people to lay their lives down, to fellowship with Jesus in His sufferings, so they can be in the path of being conformed into His image and likeness. The choice is ours. It's either we do it God's way or hit the broad way that leads to destruction. There is no other path to walking in God's life except in the narrow path of godly suffering, which is obedience to God's will in the footsteps of Jesus, denying our own will, which inevitably includes dying to all of our Adamic identifications with this corrupt and wicked world in every aspect of this life that's passing away. Jesus warned His disciples about thieves and robbers who climb up some other way who did not go through the door. They did not live their lives God's way, in God's truth, and in God's life. They were robbers and thieves who stole glory from God and exalted their will and their lives for their own glory, for their own worship, the worship of loving their lives more than loving God. I am not recommending any movies in this message. Simply speaking, God has given us a mission to suffer unto death in the footsteps of Jesus. Not primarily of the death of our physical body, which that might include for some, but the death to our own lives in order for God's life to manifest and His righteous judgments to be appropriated in the earth against this wicked and rebellious generation through a people who is ready to fulfill their God-given mission in the path of death to self as Jesus did. So anyway, that's all. It's simple and short. We'll see you guys next week. Good night.
Good word, Joey. Amen. Okay, anybody else? Anything to share? About anything at all? Looks like we got we got Sister Kim. Good, Sister Kim. You got the mic.
Okay, I just wanted to agree that Christmas is the celebration of Jesus' birth, is a witness to the world of Him. As everyone was speaking, I remembered a time when I was a kid and I was brought up in a pagan household, totally non-Christian. The Lord dropped a memory in my heart about one Christmas. I don't remember which one it was, but we always had the tree and, you know, watched Christmas programs on television and everything. And, you know, we celebrated Christmas in an entirely pagan way. Like you guys all said, that the celebration of Christmas is a witness to the world of Jesus' birth, the birth of the Son of God. Because my pagan stepfather, one time, one Christmas, he told me, you know, we have presents, we have a tree, we have all this stuff, but do you realize, he wanted to make sure, he said, do you realize why we celebrate Christmas and what this is really all about? And he said it was because Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And now that I look back on that in my childhood, that I really do get a witness that the Lord uses the celebration of Christmas as a witness to His Son, whether to the whole world. And that's all.
Amen. Thank you, Kim, for sharing that. That's a good example. Amen. Alrighty, anybody else have anything to share at all? Irma, Sister Irma, go ahead, you got the mic.
I feel bad sitting here and not saying anything about Christmas. But so, last week, when your mom gave that great testimony of her life, how she was celebrated Christmas earlier in her walk with the Lord, and then as she grew in the Lord, how he made all this real by the Spirit. I can just say ditto to that. It's just a copy of what she said last year, and I couldn't have put it in any better words. We were walking together in the Lord, and my testimony is identical to hers last week. I just felt I had to get in here on Christmas. That's it, Dan. Thank you.
Okay, Irma, good for you. Amen. Anybody else? No? Well, I guess we're shut down for this week. Let's see. Y'all know Christmas this year is on a Sunday. So I'm not going to be on. I'm going to take a break that Sunday. So we won't be on Christmas night. All right? So we'll be on next week. Then we get to that's Christmas. I won't be on. Well, God, glad y'all came. Thanks for enduring my sermon. And we'll see you next week. God willing, and the river don't rise.